One Body in Christ is today's title for our Sunday school, taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 7. The first thought, the Christian is to be humble. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The Apostle Paul exhorts Christians to be humble, to think more highly, literally means to overthink, or to think above, or so to be proud and haughty. Sin did not begin on earth when Adam and Eve fell prey to the serpent's enticement. But sin began in heaven when Lucifer, the most beautiful of God's archangel, decided that his beauty is of himself and he wants to live independent of his creator. So by five sinful thoughts of rebellion against God, Lucifer, the most beautiful of God's archangel, fell. He was cast down to the pit and consigned for the bottomless pit to be cast into hell fire. A very sad prospect. What was the sin of Lucifer? It was pride. Pride came into his heart. And the pride came just by a thought. You see, God reads us not by our actions. Easy to assess somebody by action. But God assesses us by our thoughts. That is why we are humbled. Because if God can judge us after what we think, then we better be afraid. Because what we think is what we will be. And Paul is saying to us, to the believer, having received the grace of God, that we ought to think of ourselves soberly. The spiritual gifts that is bestowed by God must not cause spiritual pride. So you have different gifts that God gives to the body of his believer. And he encourages them to use their spiritual gifts for the blessing of the body of Christ. So after God hath saved us, he blesses us with spiritual gifts. And we are to serve him with these gifts that God bestows upon us. And he acknowledges that it is by God's grace that he could serve God. And here he tells us to think soberly. What do you mean by that? To think soberly is to exercise sound judgment. How can we exercise sound judgment? How do we judge? What is the yardstick of measurement? Well, it is the Word of God, the commandments of God that provide the yardstick for our assessment. So to have sound judgment, it means to have a sound understanding, a right understanding of the commandments of God, the word of God, that allows us to make assessment according to the mind of God. Christians are to live humbly before God, because all they are and have comes from Him. Christians are bestowed with faith by God to exercise their gifts, to edify, to build up and bless other Christians. Someone asked Augustine, what was the first religious graces? Augustine is a church father. He said, humility. And they asked him, what was the second? He replied, humility. And what is the third? Humility. You see, in the kingdom of God, through the gates of heaven is very low. All who stands tall cannot get in. Jesus says in the first beatitude, the first words that Jesus uttered, remember the Old Testament ended with the word cursed. That's the last word of the New Old Testament, you know. Cursed. But what is the beginning of the New Testament? Well, the word Jesus says, the Lord of word of Jesus says, blessed. Blessed. So he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit. Who are the poor in spirit? Those who realize our spiritual poverty. Realize that we are sinners. Realize that we are unable to move and have our being without God empowering us, enabling us. So, you know, there can be just one blood clot in the entire system of blood circulation in the body, and a man faces a heart attack or a stroke. One little clot. How vulnerable we are. How weak we are. Right on. Today you may say, I'm able to stand and I'm able to respond. I can do things as I would like to. But the next day, when you stand, you may feel a bit giddy. You say, hey, how come I'm not really myself today? Oh, you realize that life can depart from us easily, taken away easily. That we are not masters, you know. But we are creatures, and we must know our position in the economy of God's realm, God's kingdom. And therefore, it causes us to realize our sinfulness, our wretchedness. So, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So, in God's kingdom, the mourners are those who find joy. Because those who mourn for their sins, those who confess their sins, will have their sins forgiven. The guilt of sin taken away, the heavy heart, the burden of sin taken away. How happy it is. Oh, God brings us, make in us a new person. And he sets for us an example, the example of a meek and humble spirit, by his consecration and his holy resolve to fulfill his Father's will always. You know, Christ's life is one lived in subjection to the will of God. Then you ask, how to live such a life? You mean I have no freedom? Everything that I live is subjected to the word of God? No. You have the freedom. The word of God provides for us the good way. And the freedom is to choose. For us to choose. So, the way of blessing or the way of cursing is before us. And the Lord gives us the grace to understand, to choose the way of blessing. Adam and Eve would say, no, I don't want to eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because God say, if you eat of it, you shall surely die. To die, you shall die. So I won't get near to it. Because God's word says so. Although the serpent may come and say to me that the word, that the fruit is indeed delicious, is able to make you wise, is able to open your eyes, I'm not going to fall into the temptation. At the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus agonized in prayer that the Father would grant him strength to endure the sufferings and humiliation of the cross to purchase our redemption. The angel appeared unto him from heaven and strengthened him. You see, if you walk with God, and God's word tells us that the lot of the Christian includes suffering. Suffering is our lot in life. But here the Lord tells us that he brings encouragement to every suffering saint. The angel from heaven came to strengthen the Lord. You know, it's so hard to walk according to scriptures. I remember one person saying, you know, I became a Christian, but it's so hard to keep the commandments of God. Is that true? No, it's not true. Because if you have the love of God in your heart, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts, then it's not difficult to keep the commandments of God. You want to come to worship God on the Sabbath day. You would want to honor your father and your mother. You would refuse to steal, refuse to kill, refuse to bear false witness. You choose to love your God, to put him first, and not put any idols in your life. And the Lord wants us to know and wants us to appropriate his will for us. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. The Apostle Paul describes the Christian community as likened to the body, the human body, and its individual different parts of the body. Each part performs a different function or work, but each is an integral part of the body. There is diversity and yet unity in the body. Right? We have our hands, we have our eyes, we have our feet. So not all the body is the eye. Not all the body is the hands. Not all the body is the feet. Every part of the body contributes to the overall functioning of the body. And indeed, the human body is a tribute to its creator God, and the body of Christ is a tribute to its enabler, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We sang the hymn, "The Church's One Foundation." It has a good thought for us to learn here. It says here, "Yet she on earth hath union with God, the three in one." What is worship? What is fellowship? Fellowship is with God, with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. And mystic, sweet communion. Mysterious it is, but sweet communion that the church has with the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. With those whose rest is one, In other words, when you are saved, God gives your soul a rest, a restfulness from the molest of sin. Oh, happy one and holy. That's the description of the child of God, the body of Christ. Happy. Happy one and holy. Not only happy, but holy. Lord, grace gives us grace that we, like them, the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with thee. How would God want us to live with him? That he may give us the grace that we may live that meek and lowly life. You see, it's quite different from the world. We want to live that high life. But Christ tells us to live that the low life. Nobody wants to live that low life. The life of service. The life of sacrifice. The life of giving. The life of serving. That's the life which Christ lived while he was on earth. We want to be the served. We don't want to be the server. But God has called us to be his servants. And there is a change in the mindset, isn't it? In the world, the mindset of service or the mindset of dominance is so prevalent. But in the church, it's different. So it's a different entity from the world. And God's people are given different grace, different gifts according to God's grace. verse 5 and 6. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. The Apostle Paul exhorts the believer to discover their gifts and to exercise their gifts for the blessing of the body of Christ. Each has a contribution to make. As a whole, the body of Christ is strengthened as individual believers are mindful of their gifts and exercise and develop their gifts. Indeed, as the saying goes, everyone has talent. The secret is discovering what it is and learning the best way to put it into action. God has gifted us, and He wants us to know how we could serve Him. Dennis Hartfield, a consultant with the Gallup organization, told a pastor's convention in Kentucky, "Our society tends to use the word talent in a celebrity sort of way, but the reality is God shapes us with the talent He would have us to have as He sends us into the world. We lack nothing for the purpose to which Christ has called us." Hartfield encouraged his listeners to stop focusing on our weaknesses and start building on their strength. He said, "Society pressures us to improve our areas of weaknesses, but that is a waste of time. Instead, Hartfield encourages people to manage their weaknesses by letting someone else do the things they are not good at." He says, "If your talent does not match the situation, it does not mean you are inferior. It means you are in the wrong place." Hartfield says, "Human beings find an intrinsic satisfaction from using their talents." Thank God for His gracious gifts of spiritual, gracious gift of spiritual gifts. And God bless His people. May God bless His people as they exercise their gifts for the edification of His body. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching. The word ministry means a servant. That's literally the word deacon. Barnes, the commentator, observed well. He says, concerning the word ministry, this word properly means service of any kind. It is used to denote the service which is rendered to Christ as the Master. It is applied to all classes of ministers in the New Testament as denoting there being the servants of Christ. It is used particularly to denote that class who, from this word, were called deacons, those who had the care of the poor, who provided for the sick, who watched over the extended affairs of the church. You remember there were many widows at that time in the early church, and the apostles could not leave the time of prayer and in the study of God's word. And in order to take care of these Grecian widows, God raised deacons in order to see to the need of these widows. There were many at that time, those who come to faith, but they had no one to care for them, no family member. And so here you see the word there, and Dr. Ironside, when he was a boy, helped his widowed mother by working during vacations, Saturdays, and out of school for a Scottish shoe worker who was a Christian. He posted Bible verses all over the shop, so that everywhere one looked, he could see the Word of God. No package went out to a customer without a tract or word of testimony, and many came back for salvation. That's how a child of God does his work. He has the souls around him for work. Dr. Ironside's job was to pound leather for shoe soles. A piece of count height was to cut to size, soaking in water, and pounded until it was hard and dry. After endless poundings, he was weary. One day, he noticed that another godless cobbler was not pounding, but nailing the soles while still wet. So they came back quicker, was the reply. The Christian owner explained to Ironside, "I do not cobbler just for 50 cents or 75 cents from customers. I do it for the glory of God. In heaven, I expect every shoe returned to me in a pile, and I do not want the Lord to say, 'Dan, that was a poor job. You did not do your best.'" So what he's saying is this, that, you know, we do our work not for man's appraisal. If you do your work for man's appraisal only, then if man is happy, you will work. Man is not happy, you won't work. That's sad, isn't it? But if you do your work for the glory and honor of God, then whether man is happy, man is not happy, you would do it the best you know for the honor and glory of God. Here the Lord is saying to us, you don't want to go to heaven without reward. You want to go to heaven knowing that you can be accountable to your Father in heaven, that you can be accountable to God, who will be the ultimate assessor of your work. So I pray that the Lord would strengthen his people and grant us his grace to follow him, to serve him. The demeanor for service, humility, the gift for service, God's grace, his enablement. May the Lord bless his people. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy holy word. Strengthen us and grant us thy peace, the understanding, that we may indeed be a serving church, that the people of God, the body of Christ, be active about doing your bidding for thy own honor and glory. This I ask with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.